are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And last Sunday night and this Sunday morning, I continually mentioned that this was addressed to people who already knew Christ, and especially to those members of the church that were sitting there that heard these words. And so I think I can tell you without any hesitation or reservation that that's a message that I ought to take to heart. And it's a message, if you're a member of the Lord's churches, one of them somewhere, you ought to take to heart. Because it involves inheritance blessings. It involves the share, the amount, the degree of inheritance that you're going to receive in the kingdom of God when you arrive on this new earth. And the blessed is Makarios, meaning ecstatically happy. And it's talking about a future condition that you and I can experience based on whether or not during our lifetime we allowed the Spirit of God to so intertwine with ours that we actually became people who had tremendous confidence in God, and we were simply the type of people who bowed down before Him in obedience, in meekness, in humbleness, and acknowledged the power was His, and trusted in His judgment and in His ability, and rested in His competence to fulfill whatever it was that needed to be fulfilled by His own ability, His expertise, His power, His knowledge, His wisdom, and His judgment. So the meekness here really applies to an attitude that we're supposed to develop toward God. And this morning, I talked about the characteristics of a meek person. And one of those characteristics, probably the major characteristic that involves humility, is a humbleness of heart that causes a person to be willing to wait however long it takes for God to accomplish whatever it is that God is planning to accomplish in your life, whether it be something in your immediate environment, something in your personal life, something with your friends, or whatever. And I took this week this word wait, kaveh, and it's not a very common word. There are many different Hebrew words translated as wait, but this one isn't used all that much, and it's a very unique type of word. And then I showed that it is a characteristic of a meek person. For the same Holy Spirit of God in Psalm 37:11 says, "But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." But then, if you go back two verses above it for the context, he says, "For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth." And that word wait is kaveh. And it means that the people who wait on the Lord will inherit the earth. The meek and they that wait on the Lord are one and the same group of people. They're people who are meek toward God, humble toward God, acknowledging their own inadequacies, trusting God's power to be used to fulfill God's promises, and they merely look upon themselves as instruments passing through, desiring, wanting to be used of God. And after they have submitted themselves to God and their will to God, having the patience to wait and let the power of God and the wisdom of God and the planning of God carry out those things that God desires to use them for and that God plans in their lives. So I talked about that this morning at length, and I connected the word kaveh with patience. And then I talked about Matthew 5:5, "For they shall inherit the earth." And I went through scriptures like Colossians 1:12-14 and 3:23-24 and 1 Peter 1:3-4 and Revelation 20:6 and Revelation 21:1-2. And I showed you over and over again this promise that God has of a future inheritance in heaven. I want that inheritance. I want as much of it as God is willing to give me. And whatever it takes, I'm not sure I'm willing to pay the price, but I think I am. And I know that the spiritual blessings that God has for me in the future are much more important than the blessings that I have now. My obligation now and your obligation to God is to be willing to be where you're supposed to be worshiping, when you're supposed to be worshiping, and worshiping in the way that God directs, and being willing to do in God's church whatever it is that God's Spirit leads you in your heart to believe you're supposed to be doing. Now, those are meek people. Those are people who are looking for an opportunity to please God. They're people who don't look upon themselves as someone who's going to help God, but as someone who wants to please God and are looking for that place and that way in which, in His service, where God has directed they should worship, they will be performing a task that God has chosen and not one of their own preconceived idea. So a meek person is someone who is seeking the will of God because they bow down before the power of God and they actually want the will of God done in their lives. So I went through this inheritance because the Bible is very clear on it. And so tonight, I'll close, and Lord willing, this will be the last message that I'll preach on Blessed Are the Meek. The characteristics of a meek man. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Remembering this word wait that I emphasized is associated with meekness, in Psalm 130, verse 5, we're going to take a look at that. Then we're going to look at the four verses above it in 1 through 4. Then we're going to look at the verse after it. The psalmist was a meek man. How do I know? Because he had this characteristic and he used this actual word, kaleh. He said, I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait. Now, if all we did was to go out and buy us a little house on top of a hill, stock in about 6 years' supply of groceries, and sit there and just wait for the Lord to come, that is not what that word means at all. The word means what you see outlined under it in green, and in His word do I hope. The greatest single attribute that a child of God can utilize after he has been saved is the leadership of God's Holy Spirit in wanting to understand the promises of God, the truths of God, the will of God, the purpose of God that is outlined in His Word. God no longer speaks to us directly and audibly by sound of voice and by sounds passing through the air, or sounds supposedly rippling through our heart. God speaks to us directly from His Word. And it is our desire and interest in His Word that shows our meekness and our willingness to submit ourselves to the instructions that are contained in what we call the Bible, that reveal to us the desires and purposes of God in our hearts and in our lives. But if the Bible is just a book that we come to hear some man expound from a pulpit, and that's the total interest we have in it, and we never look at it at home, and we never care about what it has to say at home, then there's something wrong with our attitude of meekness, because we get just about as much of God as we can stand while we're in a church building, and the rest of the week we just push Him off to one side and never really try to find what His will is for our life. Out of the depths have I cried unto Thee, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let Thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. Have you ever prayed and asked God, Lord, help me to learn to wait. Help me to learn to wait. Help me to have that kind of waiting attitude that shows my meekness and my willingness to serve. Help me, Lord, not to rush about in circles trying to accomplish things for You in my own way, but Lord, whatever this wait is, help me to have that. Help me to wait. Those are spiritual things. Those are characteristics of human beings that God is greatly pleased with. because they are in response to His Spirit. We spend a great deal of our time in our missionary Baptist churches tickling the ears of the audience and telling them things that turn on the carnal man. And a man who can tell good jokes and missionary Baptist works is well on his way to success. But the truth of the matter is, those jokes don't amount to a hill of beans. And what really is important is a person's desire to understand and employ spiritual concepts that God's Spirit desires to change and transform them into a person who has a different attitude toward life. That's what these Beatitudes are. They're attitudes toward God. And they're attitudes that God means for us to develop. And since we don't have them by natural physical birth, we can only develop them spiritually, and God has left His Word here for that purpose. If Thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? No one. I think when we come to the point in life where we really stop looking at ourselves as something super special and something that's a little cut above the average of the fellow sitting next to us, or we start comparing ourselves to this person, and I'm this and I'm that, and I've got this and I've got that, and I can understand this and I've been trained, and I've got this and I've got that, when we get off that kick and start realizing if God were to count our iniquities, we're all in the same cotton-picking boat, and we're all in the same judgment, and we're all going to be judged by Christ regardless of how proficient we thought we were in our natural attributes or those things that we developed and trained as we grew in this life. One of the biggest problems in people's lives is they have far too high opinion of themselves, and that gets in their way of serving God. But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be cleared. Verse 7. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is with thee. A person who studies God's Word, in His Word do I hope, is a person who learns to hope because he studied the Word. And in Psalm 39:7, and now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. When you say my hope is in the Lord, what you're really saying is my hope is in what God has said to me, what God has spoken to me through His Word, what God has taught me from His Word. And those people who are going to continue faithful in God's church, and those people who are going to give and to pray and to work and to commit, they are the people who have been convinced by God's Word that God is real, that God is genuine, that God will fulfill those promises, and it would behoove them spiritually to study God's Word to see what God has to say to them personally, so that their lives can be transformed by their belief in God's Word, and their hope can be transferred from what they're hoping in now to the hope of the future. I think when Paul said it just before he gave his discourse of the rapture in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, he said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ Jesus, we are of all men most miserable. The Word of God has convinced me, and will convince any man, any woman, that the future promises of God are the glory and honor and joy and happiness and the true promise that will endure and never fade away. But most churches are encouraging people to work for God for what they can get out of God now. And the truth of the matter is, God has always held out these promises to test our faith so that we will endure through whatever is necessary in this life to claim the promises of God that await us by future. And it has to do with the characteristic of meekness. If you're not a meek person, you want it now. If you're not a meek person, you're not willing to study God's Word. If you're not a meek person, then God's Word is something that you want small, short doses of. And anything that goes longer than just a few minutes, that's too much. I contend that the biggest problem that people have in their lives is a non-desire for God's Word. I contend they give it lip service, and they say, oh yes, I want to know what God has to say. Oh, yes, I want to know what God has to teach me. Yes, I want to understand God's will for my life. But I want a church service that's this many minutes, that long, and they get all frustrated and upset if the preacher goes a little bit over, if the service is just a little bit longer, or if they have to sit in a building and listen just a little bit over time. Well, that's ungodly in their mind and in their thought. And they get irritated, highly offended the preacher, if he even suggests to them that they might have the wrong attitude. How could they possibly have the wrong attitude? It's got to be the preacher, because all preachers believe that, don't they? Brothers and sisters in Christ, the God's Word is God's Word. And the more of it you get, the better off you're going to be. And it's not going to hurt you to sit for a few minutes over. And don't think that one pastor is superior to another because he lets you out early and take all your venom out on somebody who keeps you here because he's interested in God's Word. Psalm 41-3. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. I've often been told I don't understand people. The problem is, I do understand people, and people don't understand the Word of God. Psalm 41-3. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. That's that same word. That's a person who will wait patiently for the Lord. And when people wait patiently and have that characteristic of meekness, then God listens to them. He inclines and he hears their cry. I want you to notice what this says. He brought. He set. He established. A meek person gives full acknowledgement that God has been the perpetrator, the propagator, and the maintainer of whatever good has come out of their lives. And whatever terror they've been delivered from, it wasn't done by their power, but by the power of God. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my going. What's that old song? He brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on a rock to stay. They aren't just words of a song. They're scripture. God did it. He brought, he set, he established my goings. Well, God saved me and God saved you and God brought you up out of a horrible pit all by himself. He didn't need any help. And God set your feet upon a rock, and that rock was Christ. And established my goings. When you come to establish my goings, a meek person is someone who wants God to establish their goings. It's a person that wants to have the attitude that God means for them to have toward his word. It's a person that wants to have the attitude God desires they have toward his church. It's a person that desires God's will be accomplished in their lives because they have a meek, humble attitude toward God and aren't proud and haughty and arrogant inside. And they look at everyone else and think they should be humble like they are. And those are usually the proudest people in the church. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. To me, a person who is willing to wait patiently for the action of the Lord in their life, someone who the general public and others look upon as someone who is thankful and grateful to God for having delivered them from eternal damnation, who has established their goings, someone who has a new song in his mouth and in his heart, someone who is continually praising God, many people see that. And they have a reverential respect, a fear for God. And that will lead them to trust in the Lord quicker than all this automatic soul winning taking people down a Roman road. When people see the genuineness, the meekness of a person toward God, and they see someone who wakes through all kind of trials and tribulations and worries and concerns and still has confidence in God when it seems that God is never going to do what needs to be done in the minds of the person that's observing it, and yet that simple faith, that meekness of that person who has that kind of faith in God, it sticks out like a sore thumb. And they're the kind of people that praise God. They're the kind of people that show God in their lives. They're the kind of people that have a song in their heart of thanksgiving and praise to God. They're people who want to hear the Word of God. They're people who love the Word of God. They're people who have respect for the Word of God. They're people who can't get enough of the Word of God. And those are the kind of people that other people look at and say, my, 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 I don't know whether that person's right or not, but that person sure is interested in God and sure does know what God has to say and certainly has committed his or her life to the Lord. Psalm 52, 9, 7, and 8. I will praise thee forever. Now, there are certain things that we can do that God lets us do, and God doesn't do it for us. Most of the things that happen in our lives, God has to do it. And God does it. And God does it in love. But there are some things that we can do. Psalm 52, 9, 7, and 8. And there's that word wait again. I will praise thee forever. Now that's something we can do. I will praise thee forever. And the praise is to be for a specific reason. And a meek person has this attitude. Because thou hast done it. When we praise God, because every good thing that has ever happened to us in our entire existence was done by God. And when we do what is mentioned next, and I will wait on thy name, we can do that. That's something that God lets us do. Most of the things are, he brought me out, he set my feet, he established my goings, he hath put a new song in my mouth. But when we get down to Psalm 52, 9, 7, and 8, it says, I will praise thee. We can do that. Why? Because thou hast done it. And I will wait on thy name. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that same Holy Spirit of God wrote through Peter, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. To whom coming? It means to keep on coming. To whom coming? As unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. God means for you to keep on coming to Him, to keep on coming to Him. And the preciousness of God's Word ought to be the way that you continually walk to come to God. A meek person loves God's Word. And a meek person loves the name of God. And a meek person does what is good before the saints. And you can't do anything more valuable before the saints than to show a genuine, honest, heartfelt love and a desire to know more of the Word of God than you know now. Lo, this is the man that made not God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches, and strengtheneth himself in his wickedness. Now there's the opposite of a meek person. A man who trusts in his own strength, a man who trusts in his own riches, and a man who strengthens himself in his own devices. You say, well, that's got to be a lost person. Not necessarily. Not necessarily. There are people who still trust in their own strength, who trust in their own riches, and who trust in their own devices to please God at their own scale, at their own time, at their own pace, and some of them are sitting on church pews. God, at His judgment seat, His Son, is going to reward those who developed a meek attitude by submission to the will of God's Spirit. And if you don't have a meek attitude, and as if you looked at these things, you felt guilty, that's great. Now do something about it. Start asking God to help you have a greater interest in His Word and a greater desire to become more like Christ and less like yourself, because Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. A lot of God's children sitting in missionary Baptist churches, and many of them well trained in the work, have never found that rest to their soul, because they know about as much about meekness as they do about baby raccoons. And the truth of the matter is, every one of us as children of God need to develop an attitude that grows meeker and meeker, more in submission to God, more thankful to God, more confident in God's ability to see the church and us individually through any situation. But most of the time, we get caught up in our own flow of life, and we don't really need God. We just work Him in and think we're serving Him the way He wants to be served because we came up with the idea, and surely God would like it the way we did it. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. You know, a green olive tree, you can cut it off at the roots. As a matter of fact, when they get diseased in the upper strata of the tree, they normally cut it off at the roots, and it grows back. Green olive tree is very hard to kill. And this person is like a green olive tree in the house of God. Why? Because the source of his strength is in what he's standing on, the foundation of his roots. And a person that stands on the power of God, on a person who waits on his name, on a person who trusts in the mercy of God forever and ever, he will endure forever and ever, because the source of his strength is not what you see outwardly, it is what exists inwardly, and it is what that person stands on. In Proverbs 20 and 22, there's this word wait again, one of the characteristics of a meek man or a meek woman. Say not thou. If you're a meek person, then you'll practice what this says. Say not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and he shall save you. He shall. When someone mistreats you, or when you're irritated with them, or when you just really want to get even with them, and you want to make sure that they get what's coming to them, and you're afraid that God's not up to doing what needs to be done, and you feel like you're going to take care of it yourself, and you take your cute little words and you bend them behind another person's back, and you criticize and malign them and say unkind things about them, and it's your way of making things right and justifying yourself before God and man, supposedly. And that way, you can make sure that person gets what's coming to them. Well, you're not a very meek person because you don't have confidence in God's power. Say not that I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and he shall save you. He shall deliver you. A meek person, when they're wronged, when they're hurt, when they're wounded, when they feel like they've been misused, when they feel like they've been directed against, and they feel like they need a little vengeance, a meek person won't extract the vengeance. They'll leave it in God's hands. Just on the perchance that maybe they were the ones at fault, and maybe they were the ones who needed the punishment, and not the one on whom they were so sure, in order for God to be justified, they had to deal it out themselves with hard and critical words. Isaiah 25, 9, 7, and 8. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. There are some things we can do. Virtually all the important things God does, if not all of them. We have waited for him. We can do that. We can have that kind of wait, patient waiting, that kind of intertwining confidence in God's ability, and he will save us. He will. We can have confidence in God's ability to deliver us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We can do that. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation, in his deliverance. Those are things that we can do. There's pretty little we can really do for God. And the things that we really can do in praising God's name and in waiting for God and having confidence in God are the very things we don't look upon as having a great characteristic of faith. They're the very thing that we don't look upon as a great work. We look upon a great work like something I'm doing running all over the country and telling people about the second coming of Christ. We look at that as a great work. But it is the confidence in God himself that exercises faith, and not in the individual things that we happen to do, because we are in those areas where God has placed us. The very things that God gave us in his word to indicate faith are the very things we put down at the bottom of the pile as far as truly serving God. Any person who has confidence in God and who prays and trusts God to accomplish the things that God has indicated by His Word he will do is exercising the greatest kind of faith there is. And He will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people and the veil that is spread over all nations. He will. Notice all the He wills. All we can do is praise God for all those He wills. There has been a great covering placed and a veil over all nations. It is the veil of the law that Moses brought down from Mount Sinai. There is a veil over the hearts of the nation of Israel. But God's Son has lifted that veil, and He will one day swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces. And the rebuke of His people shall He take away off all the earth, for the Lord hath spoken it. Blessed are the meek in spirit, for they shall inherit the earth. I'm not presenting this tonight just as a clever exercise in the technicality and the wonder of God's Word. I'm not presenting it to impress you. I'm presenting this for one reason. In a very short period of time, I don't know exactly how long, but I think it's a matter of years. I'm not going to pick a day, a month, a year. I don't know exactly when Jesus is coming. But I think in a matter of years, every one of us here, including the speaker, is going to be standing before Jesus Christ at His judgment seat, and we're going to be judged by whether or not in our lifetimes we became obedient to God in a meek, waiting attitude that portrayed to a lost and dying world that there is a God in whom a man can have absolute, complete confidence, and a Son whom He sent to redeem mankind from their sins. And I believe in these last days in which we live, there has never been a greater requirement for us to become more like Jesus and less like ourselves with the passage of each month. I believe that meekness is a characteristic that Jesus looks upon with great favor. And at the judgment seat of Christ, since that's what He's going to reward us for, at least one of those attributes, and since I am your God-called pastor, I certainly don't want to come up before the judgment seat of Christ and Him say to me, "Well, why didn't you tell him about it?" Now, He may say to me, "Well, why didn't you practice it?" But at least He won't say, "Why didn't you tell him about it?" Because I won't be guilty of not having told you. I may be guilty of not practicing, but God knows I try. But these are things that have eternal consequences. And they're the things we ought to be more concerned about right now in our lives than anything else. Isaiah 26, 8 and 9. "Yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee." A meek person is a person that waits. And this is the same word, heve, waited. Now notice this characteristic. The desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee. If the Lord's Supper is just an occasion to where we bring out some grape juice and some unleavened bread, and we just take it because it's that time of the month to take it again, and it does not invoke in us a spirit and a desire of thanksgiving and eternal gratitude to the God of this universe who sent His Son to suffer and bleed and die, then we've missed the whole point of the Lord's Supper. And if our desire is not to His name, and if our hearts and minds aren't attuned and turned toward Him wanting to know what He has to say, why He said it, and how we can apply it to our lives, then we're not being meek people. And we're not serving God for the right reason. A lot of people come to church because their parents make them. A lot of people come to church because it pleases their parents. A lot of people do a lot of different things for a lot of different reasons. But a meek man or a meek woman will keep right on coming to church all their lives because the desire of their soul is to the name by which they were saved by grace through faith and out of a remembrance of what Jesus did for them that they could not do for themselves. And an eternal thanksgiving and praise to God's name. They'll be there. They can be counted on. They can be trustworthy. And they are the people who are meek before God because they acknowledge His power and His wisdom and His justice and His mercy and His love and compassion. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the earth will learn righteousness. We don't have a lot of time before Jesus comes. I know if you're young, you're hoping I'm wrong. I'm not. I can't tell you the day, the month, or the year. But I will give you this advice. Seek Jesus early. Don't wait to be an old gray-haired fuddy-duddy like me before you get serious about this. Because this advice is given to people in love and compassion. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the earth will learn righteousness. Seek God's will early in your life now. Ask God to help you become the kind of a meek person you need to be. Not a wimp. Not somebody that everybody runs over. Not somebody that no one has any respect for because they're just a wimp and everybody pushes them around. But start being the kind of a person that when someone sees you or someone is around you, they get the distinct impression that you have a tremendous respect and a tremendous awe and a great deal of respect and love toward God because of what God has done for you. Don't wait until Jesus is here and His judgment seat is here. Start doing these things early in life so that when Jesus does come at His judgment seat, you won't have nearly as much to be ashamed of. Isaiah 51, 5 and 6. My righteousness is near, my salvation is gone forth, and mine arms shall judge the people. The isles shall wait upon me, and on mine eyes, on mine arms shall they trust. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look upon the earth beneath, for the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment, and they that dwell therein shall die in like manner. But my salvation, my deliverance, shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished. Brothers and sisters in Christ, that day and these days are fast approaching. I exhort you by the word of the living God which you've seen tonight, each one of us to look in our hearts and ask ourselves, do we possess this characteristic of meekness? Are we really concerned about God's will for our lives and our submission to His Spirit? Or is this just an exercise and something we played because we've done it all our lives, and why not continue? Lamentations 3:25, then the verse after it, 26, then the verses before it. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. You know, a lot of people, and I have to include myself, I'm not without blame. When I'm sick, I go and ask God to heal me. When others are sick, I pray for them and ask God to heal them. When people lose loved ones, I pray and ask God to give them comfort. When my children have gone awry, I pray for my children. When my wife is ill, I pray for my wife. I pray for every one of you. Every prayer request you've ever given, I've prayed about it. But what is real spirituality? I mean, what is God really after from each one of us? The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him. And that's that same word, to the soul that seeketh Him. Do you know, if we really wanted some contentment and peace, that's what we'd pray for. And how do you seek God? You go to the place He's designated. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. And where do you learn all these things about being meek? For Christ loved the church and gave Himself for her, that He might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that He might present Him to Himself a glorious church without spot or without wrinkle. That's the kind of a person that pleases God. A meek person that's interested in seeking out the things of God. Very few people ever really seek God. They want things from God. They want God to take what they think, and they want God to think it their way and do it their way. But a meek person is someone who is continually seeking what God's will is in this particular thing, and desiring in his or her heart that God's will be done in this. We human beings come up with all sorts of wonderful plans and wonderful ideas and wonderful programs and wonderful imaginative things. And then we take them and say, we're going to use these for God, without ever asking God what he thinks of it, and never having asked God before we began the endeavor to bless us while we worked on these things. It's amazing how we think we know more than God. A meek person does not believe he or she knows more than God. A meek person is convinced that God knows more than he or she does, and they are the people, before they do anything, spend time in prayer, in meditation, and seeking out God's will in every endeavor in their lives, that they attempt to submit themselves to the will of God. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. That's the last I'll preach, Lord willing, about meekness, at least for a long, long time. But those were not my words, and aren't you glad that they weren't, when he said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. We pass through here and we have children, or we don't have children. We have homes, or we don't have homes. We have professions, or we don't have professions. We have businesses, or we don't have businesses. We have success, or we don't have success. We have homes, we have cars, we have this, we have that. But the only thing that lasts, the only things that last eternally, is what my Master and your Master and my Savior and your Savior is going to give you at the judgment seat of Christ. And he's going to reward you for what your attitude was toward him. And whether you sought his counsel and his guidance and his will in the things that you did in his church. I have to confess to you, and I'm very ashamed of it, most of my ministry, I didn't know what I've just shown you. And many times, I tried to help God. But God has overlooked my ignorance. And God has forgiven me because I did it in ignorance. But I'm not ignorant anymore. And when I ask God for something, I want it to be done in accordance with his will and his church. And I think a church full of people that are desiring to be meek people in submission to God's will is just exactly what God's after, and just exactly what God can use in the community in the best way possible. As Johnny comes and as Kay comes, we're only going to have one stanza, and then we're going to close. Just one sentence.